Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So guys, I've talked about this before on many, many episodes about how much I love my co-hosts. Well, today, we're kicking it up a notch. You guys have heard me talk about this gentleman multiple times when I'm referencing business, finance, just budgeting, being smarter with your money, just trying to figure out the entrepreneurial journey. And this transcends everything into that health and fitness world if you guys are trainers or gym owners out there. And I'm just really excited to bring this guy on because he's a multiple author. He's also a fellow podcaster, by the way. But if you guys have listened to the past episodes, which I know some of you have, you've heard me talk about a book called Profit First. You've also heard me talk about other books called The Pumpkin Plan or The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur or recently an upcoming or recent release of Surge. This guy's just nailing it. It's all over the place on Amazon. You guys can find him everywhere. His core brand and his name is MikeMikalowicz.com. So Mike, welcome to the show.
Scott, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Dude, this is awesome, man, because when I stumbled across, the funny thing is I'd already bought your book and I didn't even know you had a podcast. So then I find the podcast and you guys are pretty crazy. You get out there, man. You guys do not have boredom.
No. You know, because profit can be a boring subject. But also, I like to goof around. I like to have fun. So we kind of modeled our show after a morning zoo radio show, you know, the sound effects, the waka wakas.
Yeah.
And but also business intelligence. Like, we don't want to just be goofy. We really want to dig into finance, so and being profitable. So yeah. So podcasting, I'm a year and a half into it now. I've fallen in love with it, but books are still my first love.
Well, and I agree with you. Podcasting, I just launched this show for Live the Fuel in September, and only because I have been following people like yourself, mutual connections of ours. We just briefly talked about it before the show started just now, which is Michael O'Neill of the Solopreneur Hour.
Yes.
He's a great trend center. I know you've been on shows like John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and I believe you've been on Pat Flynn's show too, right?
Yeah, I have. It's funny. I was just talking with John Lee Dumas a couple days ago. He moved to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, man.
I didn't know.
You didn't know?
No.
Dude, that was like months ago. You're old. You got to keep up.
I called him and I'm like, hey, where are you right now? He's like, I'm in my house in Puerto Rico. I'm like, hold on. He's made so much money through his podcast. He's been so successful that there's a significant tax advantage to being in Puerto Rico. So
dude, he's saving so much money. I mean, you guys need to do a whole episode on just this. I didn't even know that Puerto Rico, because it's a U.S., what do you call it, province, I guess?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, yeah. I had no idea. I mean, people say, oh, you go to Puerto Rico, yeah, it's beautiful, but it's not like, they don't have a ton of money down there depending on the neighborhood you're in. That's all I've ever heard. Like, oh, you just go there, it's beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And then JLD just rips the lid off and says, oh, I'm literally uplifting my entire life to be more profitable, leave California and go to Puerto Rico. And I'm like, okay, maybe he just wants the islands. And then I hear about the percentages of savings. I had no idea.
Unbelievable. He said there's an entire enclave of Americans, kind of expats that have gone there and done that. So I am going to have him on my show. And when he told me that, I was like, oh my God. So we're going to talk about it and explore it all on an upcoming episode.
Well, it's funny because he's a classic example of and I don't know if he's actually been through all of your books, but he's a voracious reader as well. Like people like Ty Lopez, he's famous for being a crazy book consumer. Mm. And I mean, really, The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur came out how long ago?
8 years ago.
Man, it's been 8 years now. Wow. Okay. So I thought it was like 6 or 7. So it was 8. And it's funny because I found you because of Profit First. And that's the one that I've talked about multiple times on the show. And I've recommended to numerous people. And then I had to go back and get The Pumpkin Plan and go back and get The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur.
Mm.
And I don't know if I've ever heard you talk about this, but do you recommend a certain order? Do you actually recommend people go from the beginning to the end or...
No. I do recommend that you do follow an order, and I think it's specific to each person. I heard a great question asked. A friend of mine was considering books and said to another guy, what book should I be reading now? And the guy responded to him and said, well, what's your biggest challenge you're facing right now? And that was kind of the aha. And so when he said his challenge, he said, oh, here's a book that serves that. So I think with my books or any books, actually, the entrepreneur listening in right now, what's the biggest challenge you're facing? If if you're not profitable and you're feeling the stress of money, start off with profit first.
Oh yeah.
If you need a good sales guide, read Book Yourself Solid or something by Michael Port.
That's a great book. Yeah.
So, and then the Pumpkin Plan is about niche specialization. Toilet Paper Entrepreneur is about bootstrapping. So it all depends kind of what situation you're in now. And there's inevitably a great book out there to serve it, I believe.
Well, and the crazy thing is, like, with Profit First, and I haven't fully officially presented it to my accountant, but it's that time of year, right? So I'm going through the, he's with a very professional firm. They've been around a long time here in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and they don't even have a freaking Facebook page. I don't even know if they have a website, but they have like 30 dudes in this really nice office. So they've been doing it a while. Yeah. They're just old school.
Yeah.
But he's like a younger accountant in a firm like that? Are you like a...
Well, a partner or...
He's not a partner yet. Maybe he's an associate or...
Associate, yeah.
Yeah. Associate. And he's good. He's friends with my girlfriend. He's been doing her taxes overseeing of my girlfriend's father, who's an ex-CFO and accountant background. So like, yeah, she has an accountant, but then he still double checks everything. He's retired, so he's got to keep his head in the game. And I was talking to people and they're like, I really feel that there's something more to accounting than just balance sheets and it's expenses. You have your income minus expenses equals profits. And then boom, I start reading your book. And I don't know, man. Nowadays, I'm a huge supporter of Audible. So when I've promoted your book, I usually tell people like, dude, I'm sorry, I can't sit down and read through a whole book anymore. I had to go back because I was frustrated. I didn't finish your book fast enough. And I do a lot of driving for my business and stuff. And I'm like, man, just going out to meetings in New York and stuff. And I'm like, dude, I just need to download this thing digitally. So I download it. I ripped through it in one day.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Because I had you going at 2.0 the speed.
That's not easy.
I don't know if you ever listened. I did have to dial it back a notch here and there. I would go, I hit like the 15-second rewind, reset to 1.5 or 1.25.
Yeah, yeah. I do that too.
And it helps. But then I still had to go back afterwards, and then I went through the book physically. And I would actually take little notes and kind of skim through. But then I've probably digitally listened to that book 4 times now. And it's crazy because it literally flips accounting on its head. I don't know. I mean, I went to school originally for engineering. Then I went back to college for marketing and psychology. And I obviously in a business type of demographic and business school, because it's a BS in marketing, I had to take accounting classes and advanced accounting classes. And I'm like, that's why I pay somebody to do that. I don't want to do that. When I listened to your book and I read it, I was like, this is nothing that I studied in school.
Right.
And where did that come from? I know you've had a number of books, but I'm going to dwell on Profit First because I think it's the most impactful. Like, how did you come across writing that book?
Because it didn't work for me either. Not in any fashion. So, my background is I'm an entrepreneur first. I had the good fortune of building and selling a couple companies, but that's kind of the CV stuff. The ugliness behind it was while I was building those companies, I was not profitable. I was in this panic, check by check survival, sell anything to anybody, pray to that big client come swooping in. And then when I sold the first company, it was purchased by private equity. I said, the solution is you put everything into growing and you just pray really hard and someone buys you out and fixes all your problems, but you make a lot of money then. And I repeated it with the second company. It was a Fortune 500 who bought us. And I was like, see, this works. So I tried to repeat it on super speed by becoming an angel investor. I started 10 companies and they all collapsed and I lost money so fast. I know how to make some money. I really know how to lose tons of money. I lost tons. And
a lot of entrepreneurs actually have said that, it's great. It's easy. A lot of the successful entrepreneurs say, listen, even if you lose your money, you can always make more. And it seems like this is a common thread. I don't know.
Yeah, it does seem common. But it was for me the necessary wake up call. And what I did, I said, this mentality of being profitable one day in the future, that profit is an event that, will happen one day, is wrong. Unless I bake profit into my business, I have no other strategy. Like I can't just wait for it and hope it happens. And I realized that traditional accounting basically supports that. And how it does, it's not logically, but we have to understand the behavioral aspects of managing money. And in traditional accounting, the basic formula is sales minus expenses equals profit, which means that profit comes last.
Right.
And well, you're an athlete, you get this. You know, when something comes last, it's undesirable. Like any team, like if you're the team captain, the guy you pick last to be on your team is the one you want least. Mm-hmm. You know, the first round picks are always the best.
Yeah, so, I don't care if you talk about football, basketball, anything. It's always first round draft, first round pick. Like those are supposed to be the best things. So yeah, if profit's coming last in your equation,
right,
why would you psychologically be looking forward to that?
You're saying it's insignificant. You're saying don't worry about it. And basically we're delaying it. So what happens is, how it manifests is, many of us will say, oh, I want to be profitable. But then we don't worry about it. We don't think about it until the year end, which as we're recording this, you know, tax season is in full swing. What happens now is we're going to get those P&Ls back from our accountant saying, oh, sorry, you know, no profit or nothing in the bank account for you this year. And then we say, ah, damn it. Well, next year. And we repeat this cycle. Year after year.
Or they want you to create more expenses to offset your profits and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, we got to try and zero that down and reduce your taxes. Like, that's the age-old equation that I always learn. Like, I literally have a client of mine who's my primary income stream. Like, I do business development for them. So sales, marketing, manage some territories for them. I've helped them do some hiring and training, yada, yada, yada. And we'll talk more about this in a later episode on your show. But it was funny because... Now that I've read your book, and I love her, she's one of my best friends, but I'm like, I don't really have respect for this product. I was like, you need to cut some expenses. And she's like, well, no, because my accountant, like, we need, it's okay because we're offsetting the profits, blah, blah, blah. I was like, have you ever heard of profit first? And I gave her like a rough overview of it. And she's just like, no, I'm not going to look at that at all.
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm sure you've seen this time and time again. And I'm like, okay, but... This is a classic example of people who are afraid of change, especially if something sounds like it's so opposite of everything else that's ever been done. And I mean, how do you battle that? How do you, granted, you've sold a lot of copies of your book, so you're doing quite well, and clearly people are starting to get it. But that's one of my hardest things that I wanted to get out of you today as well, is how can I do a better job being an advocate for your book? Because I talk about it all the time, and then when I get slammed into that wall, and I'm like, this is the same thing when I talk about nutrition, and I'm introducing them to like the nutrition business I have, or a new lifestyle, or this is in fitness, because in Fridays I coach CrossFit in my free time, because I believe in that. Again, part of the show, right? You're balancing health and business and lifestyle. And it's like, this is a classic example. I don't care if it's business and money and finance, or if it's health, nutrition, a new game plan, new lifestyle, whatever. People just, the walls come up and they're like, no, that's too different. That's too crazy.
Right.
How do you get through?
Well, it's sad, but typically the way through is the heart attack, right? If someone's smoking, it's so hard for them to stop smoking until they have the heart attack or the lung cancer, a magnificent or significant problem that's life-threatening. And so, of course, we don't want to have the financial heart attack, but we want to bring them to that point of that emotion, because it's very easy to live with just good enough. You know, oh, the numbers aren't great, but it's okay. And yeah, I work my ass off and I don't really have financial freedom. I like to throw that word around, but I can't do whatever I want when I want without consideration for cost. I got to worry.
I'm glad you brought up financial freedom, because that's something I highly, strongly believe in. That's what I want. I want the freedom and the financial freedom to do whatever I want. And if I want to go take 2 weeks off and go ski Colorado like I did a couple weeks ago, that was wonderful. But I still like, oh my God, like my finances aren't perfect yet. So as soon as that vacation's done, I'm like, man, I got to get back and make some more money.
Yeah, that's the key. So financial freedom is where that no longer becomes a worry. It's just, you just know it's there. And so you can totally live in the moment. You can totally experience whatever you want to experience and do what you want to do. So what I need to do for someone that's resistant to it, I say, well, let's talk about your future. How long have you been doing this? And I try to show them that they're stuck in a pattern. And I say, if it stays this way, what's it going to be like 4 years from now, 5 years from now? And I try to get them to that feeling of a financial heart attack. If you continue to do what you're doing, you got to feel the pain. Now, profit first is the relief. And it's a real simple formula. It's just flipping it. Instead of profit coming last, like we were talking about earlier, and gets ignored, we simply take it first and it gets prioritized. And this is the pay yourself first principle simply applied to our business. And it's the combination of showing people that and letting them really emotionally feel that they're on the wrong path, and then showing the solution isn't some complex thing. Yeah, it sounds like there's so much to it and requires such a change. I just try to make it real simple and say, this is the pay yourself first system applied to your business. Are you willing just to try that part? And with a small enough step and a big enough fear of continuing the way they are, that's when I see people, you know, putting their toe in the water with profit first.
Well, and here's a great example. And you're going to love this connection because we actually, it's a smaller world here. We're going to close a circle here. You've gone and spoken at a numerous events of a gentleman that owns a company by the name of, I believe it's Gold Medal.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Aguilera. He's a fellow podcaster and he's in the, you know, plumbing and HVAC industry. So my client, my friend, she's a manufacturer's sales rep firm for that industry. And we manage from Delaware to Maine. So we're all over the Northeast. And I've yet to meet him yet, but I got to meet him because I love what he's doing with his company. I love his lifestyle, his branding, everything else. And, you know, I follow him on Facebook. We're friends on Facebook. He does the whole, him and his kids into the martial arts stuff and everything. It's just cool. But
it's really cool.
You being at his events and speaking at his events, look at the classic general contractor or HVAC contractor, plumbing contractor. I don't care whoever you're talking to. The classic, and I hate to use the term blue collar because there's a lot of white collar financial level successful contractors out there. But that industry is rampant with poor finance, poor budgeting, like just putting thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stuff into their van. They have no idea how much money they've spent. Like, what? That's a great example, right? Like, I mean, I'm sure you're probably like, people probably look at you like deer in the headlights when you're speaking at those events.
Well, some of them do. I mean, those are movers and shakers in that industry that show up there. But even among them, and when I say movers and shakers, I don't mean that they're making billions or even millions. There's some small businesses, super small businesses there. But these are people who are committed to up-leveling their capabilities and how they manage their business.
Sure.
But what's fascinating is, so I've presented Profit First there, and what his name is Mike Aguilera. What he does is he'll invite people back. So you come to one conference, you're invited back to as many as you want to come to until you master a subject. So I've presented Profit First multiple times, and some people have seen me present on it two or three times. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask people, who's doing it? This is a no BS kind of environment. Like, you go and raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm doing it, and you're not doing it because Mike Aguilera
will call you out.
He'll call you out, karate chop your face off. So,
dude, he's got that giant warrior mask, I mean, for his logo and everything.
He's an animal.
Yeah, he's an animal.
Animal. So some people don't do it, and some people do. The people that do it, I ask them, you know, give me some testimonial. Tell me what your experience is like. And consistently, the response is, my profits have skyrocketed. I'm paying myself more than I ever expected. And they go, it's almost like magic. I don't know what I did to make this happen. And all they did do was they took their profit first, which puts this interesting kind of paradigm into our business. We take that profit out first. We secure the money away. Now we have to run our business off the remainder. And what we do is we just look at our business and say, well, this is all the money I have. And we find ways to get the same results as we did before, now with less money, meaning we become more innovative. But some people in that room, they hear the stories and then next time they didn't do it. And it's just, it's very comfortable.
Well, because you're changing human behavior. This is something that takes a while. This, like I said, that's why I love this connection here, because we're talking about business, finance and money, but the same thing goes back into healthy lifestyle planning, whatever. I mean, let's go with lifestyle planning as a general statement here. That involves money, that involves romance, that involves budgeting your time, budgeting your money, nutrition, healthy lifestyle, working fitness in. Everybody's, usually most people's first excuse is, I don't have time for that, or I don't have enough money to do that. And what you're talking about here is, it's setting realistic percentages, right? I mean, if I had to kind of generalize, it's like, listen, we're not saying pay yourself, you know, 80% of what you just took in on that job. I mean, there's some formulas behind this stuff.
There's formulas behind it, and there's a behavioral principle that maybe this is probably the most important thing I can share. It's called Parkinson's Law. And when you understand this simple behavioral principle, the way you see everything in life changes. So just what it is Parkinson was a modern day philosopher. I think he passed away in the mid 1900s.
And this is not obviously Parkinson's. You think of Parkinson's as a disease. Michael J. Fox and everything else. This is a different Parkinson's.
Yeah, a different Parkinson.
Okay.
Yeah, good point.
Because I'm trying to make the connection here, and I'm like, wait a minute, really?
yeah, no, totally different guy. So this guy, he studies behavioral economics, and basically what he said is that as supply for stuff, anything, the more something is available, the more we consume. Easy example is I put one cookie on the table on a plate, or I put 10 cookies on another plate. Chances are the one cookie on the plate, you'll eat one cookie. The one with 10 cookies, you know, 3, 4, or 5 will consume more because there's more available. But when there's only one, we only eat one. But the best example is with money. When there's money in our bank account, what our natural tendency is look what our bank balance is. And then our mind subconsciously says, huh, I need that new equipment, or I need that to pay those bills that have piled up or whatever. And we instantly allocate the money. We consume, just like those cookies, what's put in front of us. But when there's less cookies put in front of us, we don't say, oh my God, where's all the other cookies? There's one cookie where I go, that's all I got. That's great. I'll enjoy it. So when we put actually less money in front of ourselves, I mean, we intentionally squeeze down the money that's available to run our business, our mind kicks in and says, oh, this is all the money we have? I can't pay those bills that have piled up. I guess I have to stop incurring some of those bills. And we start becoming much more critical of our expenses. Hmm. And then we say, oh, you know what? I wanted to buy that new equipment. I can't afford it. Maybe I'll get used equipment. Maybe we look ways to increase our margin, providing a service or a product where it dictates a much greater premium for our time. So just by forcing ourselves to have less money in our business, our behavior changes. And the proof already for everyone listening exists, because when we started our business, chances are you didn't have as much money as you did in your business today.
Mm, so
when
great point.
Yeah. So you got to where you are today somehow. You did with no money then. You can do with no money now. You just got to deliberately remove some of that money that's flowing into your business.
It's like an old slogan I heard. You probably have used this or even heard it. Like the old, you ever hear the term the money to brains ratio?
No. What's this?
I forget how long ago I heard it, but it kind of relates to that. I know it's probably an outdated term too, the whole keeping up with the Joneses thing. But you know, I made the mistake years ago of like my friends and I were living in this nice loft apartment. Quick segue because this connects on this, but. It's, you know, I was like, oh man, these loft apartments are great. It was an old silk mill that was redone in the 80s, and it was just cool, something different. And I said, you know what? I'm making more money now. I just got promoted at the company I was with. And, you know, literally, I got like a $15,000 bump. So, and I'm kind of ripping on myself here, but I'm like, oh, money to brains ratio. So all of a sudden, the money goes up, and my brains fall out my ass. So,
right.
So it's like, oh, I'm just going to move to a more expensive apartment. What I wasn't planning on was not just the increased lifestyle overhead on a monthly basis that I've taken on, but then all of a sudden, there's like this element of a keeping up with the Joneses that I kind of self-created, but I had neighbors that were doing better than I was financially. And I don't know what their bank accounts are. Technically, they could have been faking it and just spending a lot of money to live there too. But some of my neighbors were driving Corvettes and crap like that. And I was driving a Jeep Wrangler. I didn't care about the car they drove. But next thing you know, like, oh, these are all kind of like young single people, fresh out of college, or young, you know, successful type people or entrepreneurs. And we're just like, we're going out a lot, you know, maybe we're having parties and stuff like that. So all of a sudden, like my lifestyle costs went right through the roof.
Skyrocket. Yeah, there is that keep up with the Joneses, and that's just not in our personal lives. It's in our business lives too. You know, the entrepreneur says, oh my God, the other guy is more successful than me. You have more of this. I need that too. And then we start spending accordingly.
Like those contractors, you know, in Mike's world, right? It's like, oh, well, that guy's got 4 new vehicles in his fleet. So
yeah,
or he just started doing vinyl van wraps. So his vans all look beautiful because they have all this new marketing wraps, which again, I'm a marketing guy, so I respect that. But it's like, be realistic. That's a couple grand a van.
Yeah, we can justify it so easily because we have the money there, at least for now. So we justify it.
Yeah. So I can write it off.
Yeah, the keep up with the Joneses is just so dangerous.
It is.
But you know, the one thing I wanted to share is, you know, when people hear this pay yourself first principle applied to business, I often get resistance saying, but I'm barely getting by now. I'm surviving check by check. Hmm. Well, that again points to Parkinson's law, by the way. We consume what's in front of us. So we'll always live check by check. And when you take your profit first, you'll still live check by check. You'll just live off the remainder and your profit will be hidden aside. But the thing I wanted to share is that this is the greatest savings mechanism, by the way, of all time in U.S. history, is the 401k. And the 401k is a pay yourself first principle. It's a profit first just for the employee. And how the 401k works is if I have a job for a company that offers a 401k, they take out a predetermined percentage of my income and store it into an account where I don't have access to it. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I quickly, you know, maybe my gross pay for payroll, just to make it easy, is $1,000 a week. they take out 15% and then taxes and come out. I may have $600 net pay. Well, my lifestyle isn't $1,000 a week lifestyle. I will adjust to $600 a week lifestyle.
Yeah, your take home.
Yeah, my take home. So we adjust to it. And then if that ever goes down, like say you lose a job and go elsewhere, it sucks, but you adjust to it. And when you implement a 401k, the initial adjustment sucks, but then you adjust to it and you start accumulating tremendous amounts of wealth. So when people first adopt Profit First, in the beginning, for some people, it sucks. It's painful, but very quickly you adopt to it. And then when you see this profits piling up, that's a beautiful thing.
Well, and I think it's going back to your earlier point, and just because I have only a little bit of psychology background, but I love psychology because this is one of the biggest things that we all could do a better job on is trying to hack our own brains. pulling our heads out of our butt, however you want to call it. But it's like, or like I just said how my brains fell out my ass. So it's like, guys, like we need to do some self-reflection here and also accept the fact that I tell people, like, guess what? When people talk to me like, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about trying that new nutrition program with you, or, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about I'm going to start training with you or whatever in my free time. Whatever. I don't care, even if they're not working out with me or not using my program. Like, guys, I want you to be realistic from day one. This isn't going to be easy. It's a behavioral change. You're trying to break something that's been programmed inside of your brain psychologically, hormonally, whatever it may be, over a long period of time. Like, you got to be realistic. It's going to take time. It's going to take transition. I mean, is this something that you guys talk about with I know you've talked about it on your podcast, but I know you guys do consultations. You do these speaking at the events. I'm sure people bring this stuff up. Like, I hope they do anyway. Like, do they approach us and say, well, how long do I expect that I have to stick with this or figure it out?
So, right. So the biggest challenge we face into is if you have to change your behavior, it's kind of like willpower, that muscle, that power fatigues. So what we did with Profit First is we said, well, what do people already do? We're not going to change anything except for removing the profit first. Hmm. And what we found is most entrepreneurs don't look at their accounting or their spreadsheets or any of that stuff. So we don't have it. It does not tie into your accounting system. You don't need spreadsheets. It works with the one spot we found most entrepreneurs go, which is their bank account. I log into my bank account, see what my balances are. So what we do is at your bank, you set up multiple, we call them envelopes or plates, basically multiple accounts. And each account has a special nickname. So one will be nicknamed for profit, one's nicknamed for taxes, so you can pay
owner's
your taxes.
Owner's pay, stuff owner's like that.
Owner's pay, right, yeah. Exactly.
Wait a minute, there's owner's pay?
Yeah, right, people are blown away. Like the most important employee in any company is always the owner. No one works as hard as them. So what we do now is by having these multiple plates, as money comes into the business, we first divide it up. And now you can continue that natural behavior. You log into your bank accounts like you always have before, but instead of seeing an income account or a checking account that has, say, $10,000 in it saying, oh, I have $10,000, that money came in but it's got divided up. And you say, oh, I have maybe $4,000 to run my business and operating expenses. I've also reserved money to pay myself, maybe $2,000. I've reserved profit, maybe $1,000. I've reserved taxes. But since the money is divided up, but you can still continue the same behavior of the past, but all you need to do is just look at your bank accounts, what you already do, and you know where you stand. Now, there's more stuff to it. I mean, we take other steps, but that's the key step to allowing people to behave like they always have behaved and adopt the system quickly.
Well, and I think part of this is also, and you guys, I know you guys have brought it up on your podcast already too. And again, for our listeners, guys, I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, if you guys are just tuning in or if you guys are on the Facebook live feed, MikeMikalowicz.com. But also if you want to find the podcast, just Google Profit First Podcast or just look up Profit First Professionals and they have all the blog articles on there too. And the point here is that you have to talk about this. You have to at least consider it. You should at least talk to somebody from your team, Mike, or just go online, do the research, like consider that there's another option out there. And again, like I mentioned earlier, people look at me like it's a deer in the headlights, but I'm like, I'm telling about this stuff that I'm studying and that I'm looking to implement for myself because I have no problem admitting this. I suck at money.
Yeah.
I got friends of mine. They're like, dude, you live such a crazy lifestyle because just to help you, Mike, I was in the corporate world, but I mean, I grew up on a farm, so I didn't grow up with a lot. And there's psychology behind that, right? Like you know, there's people who talk about how if you don't grow up with a lot of money, maybe you're always afraid of money. There's a lot of psych stuff behind all this stuff. I've talked to a lot of financial gurus. I've had a couple people on the show, and I'm sure this comes up with you guys too. And so I've had to work through this stuff and recognize this over the years. And then, you know, getting into the corporate world and, oh, I got a salary now and I'm making good money. I got the 401k like you just talked about. I thought that was everything. And then, boom, up and left. Decided to just went back to school, finished my degree, left the corporate world, went and did wildland firefighting for a couple years out west.
Cool.
So like I served as an elite hotshot with the federal government. So then I got the least a taste of the government world. And I thought, well, maybe if I fall in love with this, maybe I'll love it. And here's the best part. If I could have found your book then, I would be in such a sweet spot. Like I'm not looking back with regrets, but I literally gave everything away. I went complete minimalism in my lifestyle. I literally just had, there's an app called Time Hop, and it just popped up a photo for me today showing the back end photo of a $3,000 Subaru Outback that I bought. And you just see all my North Face Basecamp duffel bags in there, the two bikes on the roof and a pair of skis, because I set a goal to reduce my lifestyle to 7 bags. And I moved to Arizona that way. And I lived on a federal compound. So our rent was like $150 a month. Our pays were automatically deposited. I mean, it wasn't great pay, by the way, at all. The only time you got paid really well is when you were on a live fire in the middle of the woods, because then you're getting hazard pay and everything else. So the beauty of it was automated and I couldn't spend it. So that's when I really started implementing like automated bill pay, stuff like that, and started paying my debts down. And I was in a great position then.
Right.
And then I finished that 2-year adventure, and then I'm like, oh man, I miss having nicer stuff. And I went and bought a brand new Jeep and moved to Colorado and skiing and mountain biking and upgraded the bikes. And, you know, hey, it's a never ending story. So the point is,
I suspect that point in your life was not bad. I bet you.
Oh, hell no. It was awesome. I mean, come on.
It was awesome, right?
I have friends of mine like, dude, you actually went and did something that crazy. I literally had a friend of mine. I had no idea what I was doing. A buddy of mine, like when I got back, said, Scott, you do know that he's a numbers guy. He's like, Scott, you know that I did research on your job and you did one of the top 3 most dangerous jobs in the world. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess I could have researched that beforehand.
Sure, crab pitching or whatever it is, like, you know.
Right. I think that's more dangerous, and I think one of them was underwater welding. Because if your flame goes out, the acetylene fuel, when it reacts with salt water, is like explodes or something. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But it's like the point here of the story is, it's you can make whatever you want and whatever lifestyle. I set a goal and went after it and did it. And I was improving my debt-to-income ratio, sort of. But there was no game plan behind it. And I did not address my behavioral issues that I had before. So I just kind of like set it and forget it. And I think that's what a lot of people also don't realize, that we need to be accountable to ourselves and accept the fact that, dude, you're messing up. If you don't know what the hell you're doing, finally own up to it and reach out and get help. And that's what I did with you guys a few weeks ago, because I'm like, you know what? I read the book. I've implemented the book. And I'm like, I'm not implementing it completely. I haven't fully implemented it yet. I just need to rip the lid off. And like, that's what's going to happen in a few weeks. Like, to our listeners here, guys, Mike has been very gracious to him and his team on the podcast. I'm going to go out to Jersey and hang with them. Yeah. And I'm going to be completely honest and transparent and just show you what I got.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait.
And I don't know if you ever did that before, but
no, we haven't done it. Well, we haven't done the transparent thing in live in studio. We have done it, and it's powerful. I just can't wait to see in studio, because I think it just transcends what you can do on the internet.
Well, and I think that's the power, right? Because everybody's like, oh, it's so easy just to do a Facebook live feed, or yeah, I'm glad people are following podcasts and podcasting are growing. But this is just like in sales and marketing. Just like when you go and speak at these events, like, you can't beat the power of being in person and being fully immersed. And it might be awkward and it may be frustrating to some people, but you got to do it. And that's kind of how I am. I just go in. I go all in when I finally do something.
No, that's the way to do it. You know, you were mentioning like the support team we have. I just wanted to build on that, because I think it's just an important component. You know, when it comes to fitness, for example, I work out 3 days a week with a partner, my neighbor, and 2 days a week on my own. And I never miss those 3 days. We had this morning. I'm always there because he's there. And there's a sense of commitment to him, and shame if I don't do it. And secondly, the other 2 days I do it on my own. I hit the gym. honestly, 50%. I'll do it on Tuesday. I'll do it tomorrow for sure. Thursday, I'll be too tired to probably sleep in.
Right.
And so I found these accountability partners are big. So we started this group called Profit First Professionals. Actually, Shannon Simmons, I don't know if you know her name. She specializes in the fitness industry specifically.
Yes, I remember that episode because I tweeted it and shared it and everything else because I'm like, that's a smart girl, man. Niche that because there's trainers and gym owners don't have a freaking clue.
Many of them don't. So Shan's is a great example. So we set this organization of Profit First Professionals, which are accountants and bookkeepers who have mastered Profit First. They actually implemented it themselves. That's key. But then they hold people accountable and, like Shannon, specialize in a niche. So Shannon now, you know, it's like that workout partner. She'll guide you through Profit First. She knows how to do the quote-unquote exercise properly, but she makes sure that people does it. And when people are working with Shannon or another Profit First professional, it's like 100% success ratio. When people go at it alone, unfortunately, it's a little bit like me. It's like 50% success ratio. Some people are like, I'll get to it later and then push it off. So that accountability mechanism, and that's not just true for Profit First, all aspects of life. Accountability is king.
Oh, it's definitely. I mean, and again, with people, guys, different website, but what he's talking about is profitfirstprofessionals.com. I said it once before about the podcast too. But like, you guys are so confident, like when you first load the website, right there is a tagline. You guys have in there, experts who maximize your company's profits permanently. Having the balls to say permanently, that tells me that there's something there. I don't know. Not everybody has the confidence to put that on there and in their marketing.
Yeah, no, they don't, for sure.
And clearly, stuff is working. Like you said, when you set up the right relationships, the right accountability partnerships, it's no longer you going at it alone. And now you have somebody to sit there and call you out on your crap.
Yeah, I think it's good to have my analogy to the gym is you have the trainer, someone that knows the exercises and observes it. But the other part of gyms that's so helpful is you have other people working out. There's no question, at least for myself, when I go to the gym and I see people throwing around some weights, I'm like, all right, Mike, turn up the heat here. But if I'm in my basement, I'll check my phone or whatever. So I think that mix of having a trainer, someone who knows the process, that's like the Shannon Simmons of the world, and then know that there's other people going through this with you, they also feel the pain, I think that's very reassuring too and motivating.
Well, and again, you guys, how long ago did you launch Profit First Professionals? That was...
Only a year and a half.
Is it almost 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so... And what really inspired you guys to do that? Was it because of this exact thing we're talking about, that people just started saying, oh, could you help me or can you hold me accountable? Or where did that come from?
Yeah, it was it. So I wrote the book. The initial manuscript went out. I'm re-releasing it, by the way, in February. So just right around the corner from when we're recording this on February 21st, it's being released through Penguin. But the first version I self-published and I gave it to some friends. Just like, check it out. What do you think? And I swear the first call I got, Scott, was a guy who read it and said, yeah, good book. I want to do it. Hey, who's the person that can help me with this? Kind of skip past the... And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I love it. I get it. It's the pay yourself first principle to business. I want to do it in the worst way. I just know myself. I'm not going to do it. Who supports this? And that was the aha moment. So I called another friend of mine who's an extraordinary entrepreneur. His name is Ron Saharian. And said, hey, Ron, let's start a membership organization. And now we have 160 plus accountants and bookkeepers that are supporting it.
Well, and I think that's important too, because these are bookkeepers and accountants, and I'm sure some of them might be also made, hopefully we're lucky enough to start new with what you're teaching. But some of these people, these are professionals that converted, that actually get it. And it's like, hey man, the old way ain't working. I need a new way. This makes sense.
And, yes.
I mean, what would you say is the percentage of the people in your community that are all converts?
I would say in my community, 99% are converts. There's actually a few that have just started up their practice based on Profit First.
Shannon was one of those converts too, right?
Shannon's a convert, yeah. And she's the exception. So our membership represents less than 0.001% of the accountants and bookkeepers that are available out there. We are the absolute micro minority. And many people that have been exposed to Profit First as accountants or bookkeepers have said, I don't know if I can make this conversion. And they don't say it that way, but they say, I've been told to do accounting one way for my whole life. It's logic and it's numbers. And we're saying, yeah, it is. There is logic, but you must overlay that with the behavioral management of cash, like how our minds work. And a lot of accountants and bookkeepers can't make that leap. So it's the minority that actually understand that they have to understand the behavior of the entrepreneur, help the entrepreneurs have systems to manage their behavior, and then complement it with the logic and the detail behind the scene. You know, entrepreneurs, we trust our gut. We look at our bank account. We got to move, move, move. Well, Profit First is a system that supports that. And then Shannon Simmons and these other accountants and bookkeepers behind the scenes, when there's a red flag, you know, when there isn't enough money to pay bills, they say, here's the reason why. This is what's happening. Let me show you the reports behind it. Let's make some changes. So you got to be able to do the blend of both the logic and the behavior.
Well, because again, you're providing a system and an equation or a process, right? That's fine. Good. We have that. And then you need, okay, how am I going to implement this properly? And maybe that's all the person needs, somebody like me. And then there's the other piece we don't realize, like, great, you know the system and you have it, but because you're maybe a hardcore hustling, you know, startup entrepreneur, or just somebody who's even doing this in their free time and they still have a corporate job or your full-time gig and you're trying to balance life and trying to figure this out. And it's like, okay, well, now think about it this way. How are you going to automate it? How are you going to make it seamless so you can't mess up? And then to your point, what you just said, if you just implemented it, and how do you know if you aren't messing up? Until, like you just said, a red flag pops up, and if you got one of your team on there, then great. Now you got somebody who's not just holding you accountable, but they can say, hey, hey, heads up, like this is a little bit of a, this could lead to a bigger mistake here. Let's dial it back a notch. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, yeah, and there's definitely patterns. You know, one of the patterns we see happen with people who are implementing Profit First is when they get the concept and they say, holy crap, I'm going all in on this. Like, you know, if I'm going to pay myself first, why not take 50% of my business income and put it into profit? Why not 70%? I'm going to have this huge profit margin. And they take these large numbers, but it's like taking a frozen mug out of the freezer and putting it into an oven that's, you know, baking right now at 400 degrees. That sudden shift causes so much torque on the business, it'll shatter the business. So one of the important steps in implementing Profit First is to take small steps. You know, you don't go to the gym and start benching, you know, some ridiculous amount of weight.
Right.
You have to understand form and technique, and you have to build your muscles and strength, and you have to have proper support and safety measures in place. So you start off and you build slowly. And so that's with Profit First. The greatest success is once you understand it's the pay yourself first system, you're using kind of these envelopes as bank accounts, then we start very slow. And many businesses, when we analyze them, we find out that historically they haven't had profit in 5-6 years. So we're not going to start at 20%. We start at 3% of the top line goes to Profit First, and then 4 or 5%, and see how we do over months. And then once we start getting momentum, we adjust the system, then that 5% becomes 6 and 7, and we build it up over time. I mean, it takes a year or two, but these businesses become extraordinarily profitable by going slowly, not going quickly.
Well, and the best part is there's so many success stories on us, but number one, I real quick, I love the fact that we found a way to keep connecting a couple different times on this show back to that health and fitness world. And we're definitely gonna, in the show notes, we're definitely going to connect on Shannon as well. So, because I love
awesome.
That piece, but it's just like you were saying, I can relate trying to teach people Profit First to, at least in my world, to the CrossFit world, right? I found CrossFit thanks to the Wildland Firefighting, and I fell in love with it, and then I eventually became a certified coach because I love it, and I love doing it, and I love the community. I love the coaching, the development. And it's funny because when I meet people like, oh, well, that's that crazy stuff I see on YouTube or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, just like your book and your principles on helping people finally become profitable. And it's like, oh, well, I can't do CrossFit. I'm like, dude, I've got a 65-year-old woman that I coach once in a while. I mean, it's just like you're saying, like, you're not going to show up and we're not going to make you go do some of the stuff that these professional athletes that have spent years developing themselves are doing.
Right.
You might come in and just do the bar and you're not going to put any weight on the bar. So I love this connection, the connectivity here, because these are, and it's kind of funny, like that's an extreme in the health fitness world. And I think you're an extreme as far as trying to convert this old financial management accounting methodology world. So it's I think it freaks a lot of people out.
It really does. And that's what people get afraid of. You know, if I go all in on this, I'm losing everything else. And that's not the truth. It's not a switch. It's a dial. So the nice thing about Profit First is that it works with any setup you currently have. So if you do bank balance accounting, or if you're really into the numbers and you're using your accounting system inside and out, and you have different accounts set up, or no matter how you're managing your business, this is kind of an umbrella that goes over it. So that's step one. It complements what you're doing. But then secondly, is we move in very small increments and steps. The one key, though, is we don't ratchet back. So meaning, say we start off at 1% profit. Well, next quarter, 90 days from now, we're going to go to 2% or 3%. The mistake, and we try to avoid clients from doing this, is if they go in, say they start at 10%, and then they go to 15%, and they're like, oh, 15% was too high, I'm going to go back to 12%. It kind of unwinds the system. We found that people have more success in starting low and going slow than starting with high numbers or jumping up quickly and then needing to step back. It seems to unwind the system and unwinds the momentum.
And I think that's something that's going to impact me positively too, is because I think that's part of my psychological issue, is that usually when I find something I'm passionate about, like, hey, I'm going to launch a podcast, I'm all in. And I mean, there's certain times that's good. But yeah, in this case, maybe I think the reason why I haven't been able to fully implement this yet is because it scares the crap out of me. And it's like, where am I going to find the money from? And I need to need to do what you guys are talking about here, which is like, yeah, man, dial into it little by little. Get the template, build it out. I mean, it's not like you're going to, you know, overhaul your entire business in one day. It's okay.
Right. That's exactly it. And by making small steps, when those profit distributions come out, you're basically guaranteeing yourself a continual improvement in profit. Maybe the first, you may take such a small percentage that the first profit distribution you take, and I recommend quarterly profit distributions, just like large companies, small companies should do the same.
I love that, by the way. That's one of the biggest things I took out of that book. I'm like, wow, quarterly profit distributions.
Yeah, yeah, not annual. That's a mistake. Annual is too far out, quarterly. And not monthly either, because monthly, then it's too frequent. We start to see it almost as a regular predictable income for ourselves. Quarterly is the perfect number to anticipate it with excitement. And when it comes out, it's unique enough from and distinct enough from your regular compensation that you see it as a celebratory account. The key, though, is you take this out in small increments and you slowly grow it, which means every quarter it goes up typically. So maybe the first profit distribution is $100, but maybe the next one is 200 and the next one is 300 or 400. The profit distributions keep building on themselves because we're slowly ratcheting up the percentages. And that's a great behavioral tendency. If the reward slowly grows, we're more likely to repeat the behavior.
Well, and another important lesson in that, and again, guys, to listeners, you guys got to get this book, because I'm going to give you another thing from the book that he's talking about right now, which is the profit first piece of this is that you don't take that money and invest it back into your business. That's a whole different envelope. That's a whole different piece if you really want that. Like, this is your psychological reward. This is, dude, you've been busting your butt. You're following a system. Reward yourself. Take that profit and go out to dinner. Like, go feel good about making money. Feel good about the business that you're building and creating. Don't, I mean, I guess if you had to, you could. I don't know. You can chime in on that, because you've talked about this many times on there.
Yeah. So hell yeah, celebrate with it. Do not plow back into the business or reinvest or use any of those fancy schmancy terms. All those mean is that this is a deferred expense. It means you aren't running your business off your expenses, and you're taking quote unquote profit and putting it back in the business, which just means it's a glorified expense. So when that profit comes out, it is for you to experience financial freedom. You know, you're talking about that vacation.
Yeah.
That money all goes to that vacation. So you don't worry about it. It is there. Your lifestyle, the owners pay, it's still there. You still live your life when you return from that vacation, but that vacation is fully and wholly paid for. So you can really live in it. Or maybe some people celebrate by saving money personally. Maybe it goes into their retirement fund. That's cool too.
Yeah, Roth IRA or something
Roth
like
IRA.
That.
But if you put it back in the business, you are defeating the system, because you're not living off the expenses. The rule is this: when you can't pay your expenses, you can't afford your expenses. You have to find a better way.
I love that. Well, again, guys, to our listeners, man, I've been so excited to get Mike on here. Mike, you've been the man, and I know you've got a heart out here today, so I want to make sure I can say goodbye to you properly when we end this episode. But I've already said it multiple times on this episode, guys. I've said it on prior episodes too. If you're a new listener, please go to MikeMikalowicz.com. And again, this will all be in the show notes on livethefuel.com. And yes, he's got a very fancy name. So it's MikalowicZ. because you have fun with that on the podcast and in your book as well. So again, he's got numerous books available. The whole point of going to his website is find the right book that's going to meet your needs and tap into what you need now. Maybe you're not ready for Surge. Maybe you need the Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, or you're like me who just does have his head up his butt when it comes to his finances and you need an equation. You need a system to finally help dig you out. That's why I'm so excited about Profit First. And that's why I'm glad we were able to dig into that and even relate it back to the health and fitness world while we were at it today too. It's been awesome. So now, to honor you, Mike, all of my co-hosts get the final word of the show. So
okay,
you've done so much with all these books, the podcast, the Profit First Professionals. I mean, is there like, you've mentioned the term umbrella during this episode. So yeah. Is there an umbrella message overhauling all of this to what you're just trying to get out there to our universe here in 17 and going forward? I mean, if people forget everything else we talked about today, what is it? Like, what is the message?
I know what it is I know why I exist. Let me say that first. My life's purpose is to eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. That's why I do what I do. I think for the folks listening, it's about stepping into the uncomfort zone, the unfamiliar zone. And the reason why that's so important, in everything I've written, I studied now, I want to say thousands, but it's absolutely hundreds, probably thousands of companies, from interviews to just observing and documenting. And inevitably, progress is made when people do something new, when they change from what has impeded their progress. And inevitably, what impedes progress is just doing what we're familiar with. So get comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's where growth is. That's where the opportunity is.
That's awesome. All right, well, hang tight. I'm going to say goodbye to you here as soon as I hit stop. So guys, listeners, live the fuel. This is what we've been talking about on every single episode, guys. And guess what? I'm sorry. It takes money to live the fired up epic life. And that's what Live the Fuel is all about here. We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. That is Mike Michalowicz of MikeMichalowicz.com. Go visit there. So again, guys, another great episode. Thanks for listening in. I already said it once. I'll say it again. Keep living the fired up epic life. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.